Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The people on this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about, so please don't buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation, as it's just opinion. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 452. It's the weekend podcast. I'm joined by Steve and Pete. You're right, lads.
Good day.
Howdy.
Steve's got old cowboy. Howdy! I'll tell you what, boys. Listen, last week you came down. I've completely forgotten that we had a game of golf. I can't remember who actually won it now.
No, I can't either.
Steve?
Was that me?
Yeah. If the game was to hit as many balls as possible, put this way, Steve, you got best value for money out of that game because you hit more balls than anyone else on that course. At one point, did you have like 21 on a hole?
Yeah, it wasn't far off.
But then
I did get three on another one or something, or four.
You didn't get three. You did not get. Where are you getting that from?
That's three off the tee.
Oh, right, yeah.
And then Steve, just before we hit record, said, oh, by the way, I don't like to boast or anything, but I played crazy golf a couple of days ago and I won. Probably playing on his own.
I was doing really well. I was literally hitting, I was getting them in like one or two shots, like some hole in ones, some twos. And, you know, when I got a four, it was really bad. So I was well impressed with myself.
Where were you playing crazy golf?
There's like an indoor.
Indoor crazy golf.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
And
how crazy did it get, Steve?
Seriously, there's one part. It's like, because it's all themed in the jungle, and they're like, there's a part of it. It goes all dark, and strobe lights go off to try and put you off. And I still did it in two holes.
Two holes, two shots. You mean, Steve?
Yeah? No, two shots. Yeah.
whose holes are they? Yeah. Hey, so, Steve, hang on. This sounds, I'm quite intrigued by this. It's an indoor crazy golf course with strobe lighting, and it's like jungle themed. In Cardiff?
36 holes.
Wow. And where is this in Cardiff?
It's in St. David's Shopping Centre.
In this shopping centre? Really?
It's taken over like one of the car park levels.
And is it temporary or is it...
No, it's amazing. It's brilliant. You should do it when we're next down.
I'll just come down for that. I may not even call for you. I might just go on my own. Sounds cracking, that. Do you think it helped your golf in any way, Steve?
Yeah, do you know what? I think if I played that before, it certainly helped. Obviously, it's mainly putting, isn't it? So
mostly, yeah.
It is all putting.
It's all putting, isn't it? I can't imagine getting a driver out for the... That would be crazy. Killing people. that's good. So who did you go with, Steve?
My friend Ridian.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I know Ridian.
Although I'd say I won the game, I made the error. I was literally miles ahead of him. And at the end, you kind of hit... There's like a bonus hole, and if you get it in this hole in one, you win a free game. And I said, tell you what, if you get this, you win the whole game. And he only got it, didn't he?
Oh, so let's get this straight. It's you and somebody else, and you won.
Yeah.
That's an achievement, isn't it? Hey, I tell you what. So anyway, let's not talk about golf too much, because it's about stocks and shares. So let's talk about some stocks and shares here. And what's your thoughts on the week's, guys? Anything stands out in your head? Apart from the crazy golf. I mean, I don't think crazy golf's that crazy. If they really want a bit of crazy, right? You'd pay your money and they'd give you a drink full of acid or some kind of, psychotic drug. And so where you'd see elephants anyway. That would be crazy, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Anyway, that doesn't happen. That's illegal, of course, and we can't condone that. But I'm just saying, as a concept, maybe that would be quite crazy. And maybe they should have it inside a mental institution, you know, where you got crazies actually urinating in the holes and stuff. Okay, anyway.
Right.
That's crazy. Okay, stock markets, anything at all, lads? Are you thinking of the week? What are you thinking of?
Asia Met.
Yes. We've got to get to the, Tony.
Yes.
Just keep talking them away, yeah? Just keep talking them away. That's what I'm thinking.
I thought your interview with him was very interesting this week.
Yeah.
I thought from his tone, his tone.
Tone's
our tone. He almost sounded a little bit peeved with the way that the share price had reacted. And obviously people, I mean, that spike that it had was ridiculous, wasn't it?
They are a spike. They brought out the PEA, which exceeded, let me just say that again, exceedingly good cakes from Dr. Tony there.
Still dropped the share price after that exceedingly good announcement.
Well, exactly, this underlines that cliche, doesn't it? I say all financial cliches are always worth paying attention to, you know?
Yeah.
And the cliche is, Steve?
Buy low, sell high.
That's it, Steve. spot on.
Buy the rumour, sell the hype.
Yeah, no, buy the rumour. That's it.
Sorry, buy the hype, sell the news.
We'll get there soon, yeah. Buy the rumour, sell the news. Yeah, and that's what happens. But, you know, it rallied strongly. But let's, I just think...
No, but hold on. The thing that got me with that spike and that rally was how quickly it happened. Like, I saw quite a few people on Twitter saying, went out for a cup of coffee and got back, and it just wiped down in about half an hour or something, or an hour. You know, it was really... quick, wasn't it?
That's the markets for you.
But you see other spikes that kind of, zoom up, kind of maybe pull back a little bit, plateau a bit, and then, in the course of a day or something. That happened in, a wink of an eye, as they say.
Which
makes your decision-making pretty difficult, doesn't it?
No. Do you know what I was thinking here? Yeah, you've got to have a system, right? And a while back, I sent out, after that chat I had about that author... Limit Freeman Shaw, Norman, The Art of Execution, and about averaging down on a stock you're up. So I've got a little spreadsheet I sent out. Now I very much use that all the time, so I know how much I'm allocating to one stock, so my risk is not going to be more than 10% of my entire portfolio. And then I gradually put increments of 10%. Every time 10% drops, I'll put more money in than the previous investment. And so that, and maximum I put in is 10 grand there in one go. So, I'm up quite a bit. At the start, I sold a big chunk, didn't I? I was overexposed completely. And I brought it back down to simple levels, levels I'm comfortable with. And then I'm starting to scale back in now. But it's going to be, it drops. But you can't just hope, look at the market drop and then just jump in, I don't think. That's ridiculous.
No.
You've got to put limit orders. No, this is where limit orders help, Steve. Now, you say you do it manually, yeah? I would not go for manual, Steve.
Do you know what? I did do an automatic one this week. I kind of went out of my comfort zone and went all... it's because, when it dropped down, and I think, was it on Tuesday, it dropped down to like 2.8 or was it 2.7? I can't remember what I said now.
Yeah, let me just check. Yeah.
And I was literally there going through the buy process and then it jumped up to 2.9. I was like, oh, you're having a laugh. And rather than just buy it at 2.9, I thought I'm going to wait because it'll probably drop back down. And it didn't. It went up to like 3.20, didn't he? So I ended up putting an automatic buy at... 295, which is actually was the next lowest it went to, and I did buy, so I'm now back in at 295.
Yeah, well, I mean, the bid is actually 2.8. What's it now? Current 2.9 is it now, so you bought a little bit above, but it doesn't matter. Now, what you do now, Steve, is put another, get the spreadsheet, you put type in 2.9.
It's on 3 now.
So, look, I'm looking right now, it's on the current is 2, the offer's 3, yeah. The bid is 2.8, the current in between there is 2.9, so yes, so you can sell. Sell for 2.8, you buy for 3. What I'm saying is, so we get the spreadsheet up there, Steve, type in that money put in, and it'll give you the next amount of money to put in and the level as well. That's what you should need. Listen, the whole problem with humans is emotion. Talk about everything from sport to everything. You look at the Masters on at the moment, emotion is a huge part in the performance of of anything, right? And if you can remove that and play, like I said, who are you talking about just then, Pete, before you started playing?
Ernie Els.
Yeah, Ernie Elsie had a couple of patches in the knee. He kept knocking him past the hole, and that will affect him emotionally. And I think, he was capable of putting that putt in, completely capable, but something went wrong. And I think it's like, people are comparing now cars, and they're all dangerous of cars driving themselves. No, I would completely trust a computer before a human. And in 20 years' time, people will be saying, my grandkids will say, if I'm alive, will say, did they honestly let humans drive cars? Because that'll seem insane. Look at all the people that are a bit over the on the edge, a bit crazy, and they're in charge of a car driving towards you. There are people out there who, who's suicidal, on the edge. They've had arguments with their partner. They lost their job. They're driving around these ton vehicles that can do like 100 miles an hour. And you think, we trust humans with that? It's emotion that gets in the way. So that's what I'm saying. Do your research in the cold light of day. Look at some support levels or some, just work it out in a spreadsheet. And then...
Take the bus.
Yeah. But then, put the orders in for these stocks.
Oh, right.
When when you're not in the middle of it, when the market isn't volatile, and when you're your finger over the buy button, it doesn't help. It just clouds your judgment completely. Make the decision in the cold light of the day, remove yourself from the situation, and then put orders in.
I think the difficult thing with AIM stocks, though, is that there's the temptation to take profit in the short term, whereas Asia Met, I'm really looking at as a long-term story. So I'm happy with what I've done so far, and the spike's the spike, and I didn't really have a plan, which is the other thing. You should have a plan. Like, if my plan was, yes, it will spike, and then I should sell some. I mean, Steve did sell, but perhaps not at the right time. But,
No, I did. I sold at three and a half pence. Yeah, I made a bit of money on that. And I bought back in at a lower price.
That's very good. So you've played a blinder. But like on the announcement of the PEA, you could have put in a sell at like 5.5p or 6p or something and really made a decent profit and then gone back in at 2.7 or whatever later in the week. But that's hindsight, and you need a crystal ball to know that. But it's just the, not having a plan. I felt like I missed the spike, but then I was thinking, was I thinking of selling anyway? I don't think I was. So, whereas on other AIM stocks, you're torn between trading, really, and long-term investing, aren't you?
Yeah, but let's be honest, right? I'd say probably about 98%. I don't know the actual stat. I'm just making this up,
I think it's 97.
Is it 97.3, I think it is, of AIM stocks will not go anywhere, pretty much. They'll rally... spike, come back, have another rally, spike, whatever. Now, I'm not a trader. I am looking for, that pot of gold, that one that will make it to a mid-tier. And I'm talking about, in excess of like, 300 million market cap. I'm looking for that. And that's why, at the moment, I'm playing around. I've got a lot of stocks. I've bought a lot more this week, just small amounts, that's all.
Right,
so when when you got a bit of skin in the game, it helps. And I think... when I get more used to them, they start rising, I'll look into them, they come back, I'll scale in a bit more. If I think they're going to go, they're the potential to go that whole hog. And I do believe Asia Met is one of those that has that potential to go the whole hog, I believe in Tony, the asset is very good. I'll go through some of the facts on the asset. They said they're going to be pulling out 25,000 tonnes of copper in the PE. Before that, they were saying 15,000 to 20,000 tonnes. So it succeeded there. After tax, net present value at the moment is US $204 million. Now, this is one asset. They have potential to expand this asset by doing more tests, more drilling. And I think this can be a lot bigger, this asset on its own. Now, this is not including their July asset, which is the gold asset they're going to sell off, probably maybe for $1 million, and not including Bhutong. Sounds big, doesn't it? Bhutong! Don't mess with the Bhutong. It's like if you were locked up in prison and they say, you're going in the cell with Bhutong. You wouldn't want to go in the cell with Bhutong. You know what I'm saying?
Right, okay.
Listen, so what I'm saying is Bhutong's a monster. Don't mess with the Bhutong. And that's 4 or 5 times as big as this asset we got here. So you can see, the potential here.
Well, and the other thing, obviously, with all these little stocks is always funding. It's always the scary part, isn't it? There'll be massive dilution and placings and all the rest of it. Whereas your interview with Tony, it sounded very positive in terms of, we already know he's got some big players that have already invested and he's got connections in that world. And there's all sorts of potential there for funding it without having to do much dilution, and he said that pretty much to you, didn't he?
So yeah, well, I sent a link out, didn't I, on the day of the podcast, right? And it was essentially, Tony is on the board of directors of EMR Capital, right? This is a company that just bought another company for $755 million, right? They've got money sloshing around these guys, and they're mostly, mainly Australian-based. They've got billionaires in that thing. I mean, yeah. You know, he knows there's Indonesian families who are very, very well off billionaires that he knows. And he's, you know, and Stephen, the second hand, the man on the ground there from Asia Met, been living there for 30 years of his life. And he says, that's the way you sort Indonesia out. It's very political. You've got to know at a ground level how they work. He's lived there 30 years. He knows how they work. He's well connected there, you know. And so, listen. Don't you worry about the funding. Tony's got the funding in hand. Yeah.
No, I'm not. And I think I'm, you know, very happy with it coming right back now and being able to buy some at a lower level, because I'm, for a longer term sort of investment, I'm quite happy with that. I'm very interested in where it's going to go. So,
Look at this. Just on this asset alone, they got gross revenue of $1.27 billion. And after tax, internal run rate of return of 38.7%. That's a cracking return, you know? Yeah. And so I just think only 2.4-year payback of, you know, of investment. And that's all it takes. And initial 8-year-plus life of mine. Yeah. So, you know, I just think this is a stock, you know, and nothing's ever, you know, signed, sealed, and delivered in life, and a guarantee apart from, obviously, death and taxes. We know that.
Yes. Yep.
But, you know, I think this has a good chance of being that mid-tier company that you shouldn't play around with. It's like, you know, Mad Money's Jim Cramer. He always basically says, don't trade Apple. Don't trade it. Invest in Apple. And when it goes down, invest some more. Don't trade Apple, because people trade it in and out, in and out. No. I'm not saying this is an Apple. You know, I'm not saying that, obviously. But what I'm saying is, I think it's one of these stocks that, you know, if you're in, you've got a bit of profit in, you see a bit of weakness there. Not every time it dips down, but like I said, use a spreadsheet, you know, have a plan of investment, and just invest. Because I think it's, you know, they're very few and far between, these kind of stocks.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's going to be the stock, but I think, you know, it could be.
If it does reach those kind of levels, and if the potential is proven, what sort of share price could you imagine a market cap? You said earlier market cap of, I was listening, honest. I can't remember what you said. What did you say earlier?
Well, 300 million. But I don't know what the share price will be. You know, I've no idea. I mean,
but that's 20 times.
That's like asking. That's like asking. Yeah, so what at the moment?
Like 15 million at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah, something like that.
So you said 20, so it's about 20 times current market cap. It's kind of would be mid-tier.
And now you'd have a bit of dilution, so bring it back to say 50. I think, you know, let's be very conservative. You know, let's say, it'll 10 back from here, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't think it's a big ask.
In the next 2 to 3 years, do you think?
Yeah. We are essentially ramping the stock, but
we are, please, and we are just
please, you know, please do your own research on this. Yeah. I may be wrong. Like I said, very few stocks get to the level where they start off as a little minnow there and become a big thing. But like, you've got to put in perspective what we've got here is the asset is good. You know, the management have done it before. You know, and like I said, these guys have no problem. And Tony said, why should I, you know, dilute the stock and raise? I'm the single biggest individual shareholder. I benefit from this stock going up. And so what I think he's going to do is bring some, he mentioned a surprise. Now, I don't know anything about the surprise, but I think he's going to bring some money in, which is non-dilutive. You know, I think it's just fundraise in some way. And like I said, last two placements he's done has been pretty much at market price. So, you know, even though it dilutes, obviously there's more shares an issue, it won't shaft, you know, too much in the capital depreciation, you know. So it's a good thing, I think, you know. And so I just think it's a good one to play, you know.
Yes. My other question, while we're talking little mini caps, what has happened to your penny stock punt experiment thing?
Good question. Well, listen, we got it's now called African African Industries. It was ADSS. It's now AAI, but they are doing. They've switched basically industries. They've gone from being a support sector, sort of oil and gas support sector company, to now creating a bottling plant in Ethiopia, which is one of the fastest growing economies in Africa, Ethiopia. And it's getting their act together. You know, people want to be involved with Ethiopia, and there's a lot of things going on there.
And how have they done that?
I don't know. Well, they just did a report. Apparently, the bottling out there, there's a huge growing sort of upwardly mobile, class of people there. And they're saying that, bottles and all that stuff are just not standard. They can't, they've not enough bottling plants. And the ones that are there are of low quality. And they generally feel there's an opportunity in the market. And they've gone through the figures, gone through the business report, and it looks good, you know? But I mean,
they bought a place.
Well, they're starting to cut the ground now to build this factory. They're getting grants from the Ethiopian government. Plus, they've raised 5 million. They're going to debt raise about 30 million. So it's a big thing that's happening. But the timeline is long. You know, it's not going to happen until I think it's 2018, pretty much, it'll be ready. So, you know, it's been scuppered, my 1 million market, because, the oil price took a hit. Then they've changed. So essentially, I'm invested in a company that wasn't the company I originally invested in. And, it's a bit different. So, do you know what? I think I'm going to set up version 2. I don't know what to call it, version 1.2 or something like that.
2.0,
yes. Mm. And this will run concurrent alongside the other one. And you never
make
know.
£2 million.
Yeah, but because when I started this out, I had a little bit of experience with penny stocks, not a lot. And now I'm a lot more, au fait with them. Because I've been, and I've had a couple of. Thing is, the ironic thing is, I've had stocks double, triple, quadruple, more than that in the last few weeks, And it's been quite annoying. I thought, if I just had these in my £1 million. Penny stock challenge, because I've had Ascent Resources, which I pulled up by 300%. I've Metal Tiger, I was up 500%. I think I'm pretty sure sell up by 300% up.
Yeah.
Asia Met, a couple of 100% up.
Yeah.
It's annoying that so I think I'm going to start again. With the grand 10 trades, doubling each time, pulling it out after a double, and then making it into £1 million in 10 trades.
Mm.
So, it can be done by the right levels. And in fact, bringing it round in a sort of circle, and the first stock I invested in was called African Potash.
Yes.
And I don't know why. I looked at the chart of African Potash. I looked at the cash flows, and I worked out they've got pretty much enough cash for the rest of the year. Their stock price is at a level of 1.3, nice support level on the chart. I thought I'm going to jump in here just for a little punt, see what happens. Not a lot of money. I don't expect it to go through the roof, but it's nice. It's one of those days when it was down on the Thursday, and I bought last thing. It's always good to do that. When you get a bit of a rout in stocks, you buy last thing in the evening, right? Because if it's really been hammered, the market, you'll see a natural bounce, especially if these stocks are on the support level. And it happened with African Potash. I didn't jump a lot, but I bought in on the Thursday evening, and then on the Friday, it was up 5.7%. So that's quite nice, wasn't it?
Very nice, yes.
Yeah, okay. So I'm going to see you. I'm not starting the experiment with this. I'm going to pick a stock that I'm into, I think. But I think potential is like something like Keffi Minerals has potential to go from where it is now, because it's just hanging around. And what you need, what I didn't realise last time, one of the factors that I need to fulfil is a timeline of news.
News flow, yes.
Yeah, now Keffi, they said June time, they will have news about the funding for their mine in Ethiopia there. And I think that will be, a nice, because it's not far away, is it? And at the moment, I bought about 0.3, I think it is. And what's it at the moment? It's current.
0.1. No, I'm kidding. It's 0.38. I've bought some as well, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that'd be a good little starter, start off down there. But because all they need is the news. Once that news drops, boof, shake the room, what I'm saying? So that could be a nice little start there.
I've got some money in Atlantis African Industries. So does that mean that I've just got to sit on that for another few years now?
Yeah, there will be new. No, the thing is, listen, I remember when, back in, when I went to the Momentous events back in, before the start of the new year there in 2015, I met with Tony, and Stephen. We chatted in the corner booth. No, I didn't really. We're standing up having a drink. But, they said the PEA will be out end of March, you know? And that was like five months ago. And then people said, oh, get out of that stock. That's 4 months away. There's no news for 4 months. But if you look at the share price, you know, people assumed it was going to just drop down. Let me just bring it in. And it didn't. It did rally. It went from like, what is it, October, November, up in November. It did grind down. But then, you know, you do have rallies and spikes. So, you know, and you don't know what news is coming out, you know? So,
you're talking about Asia Met again. We've brought the podcast back to Asia Met.
No, I mean with you know, African. What are they called? Yes. I don't even know what they're called anymore.
Atlantis African Industries.
Atlas, not Atlantis, Steve. Atlas African Industries. Yeah. AAI,
So, that's the one you were talking about the other day, Steve. We didn't know what you were talking about. And you said Atlantis. You meant Atlas.
Atlas, that's what.
That's why. You didn't know why you owned them, did you? Because they've changed name. You said, I don't know why I own this stock. Why have I bought this? That's brilliant. Yeah, so Atlas African Industries, yeah. And yes. And you will. They may have some news dropping, Steve. You never know. It may happen, you know what I'm saying? But what was I supposed to say? Oh, yeah. So African potash, do you know what? I'm not confident in what's happening there, though. The business. It's like, I think it was back in October. Let me just look at the timeline here. Back in October, you know, they're becoming a fertilizer sort of trading company in Africa with COMESA, which is the common market within the thing. And they took an order, you know, to deliver. I don't know how many tons it was from a company. Was it from? I don't know where it's from. But... and the payment should have been within 5 days. And I'm sure this was like back in October. And they haven't had the payment yet. They've had a bit of the payment, not even 10% of the payment, I think. And yet, Zambian trade, that's right. And I just think if you'd... Because, you know, everyone I speak to on the podcast who work in Africa, said, one of the first things they say is, listen, let's be honest, this is Africa, you know? And you realise it's hard work working in Africa. And but I think if you're working in a localized area in Africa and you know the community very well and you know the people you're working with, it's probably fine. But when you're working all over Africa and you haven't got time to strike up, you know, good relationships with people, it's probably a lot harder, you know? So they've made a couple of agreements, but a fertilizer sale agreement in October. Yeah, and I don't know if they need the money, the payment, and the payment's late. Now, if you're a business, you know, and you made a deal in October, and then your payment was supposed to be within, what, a few days or a month or whatever, even if it's a month, you know? And then how many months later is it? September, October, November, December. 6 months later, you still haven't been paid. What would you think?
Worried.
Steve?
Yeah, ditto.
Feel free to answer any questions, Steve, that's put out there. It's only three of us on the podcast. You're including any question I ask. I think that. So maybe if it, the thing is, that's in the price. You know, that's what I'm thinking. That doubt is in the price.
Okay.
And I'm just thinking, if he does come ahead now and drop some positive news here, we'll see a re-rating here. You know, and so a lot of people are doubting whether this payment will be made. And so Chris Cleverly is a man full of energy and ideas. And I think if anyone could pull it out of the bag, he can. You know what I'm saying? And basically, fertilizer is, you know, pull that out of the bag, it stinks. But I mean, you know, he can do it.
Yeah,
you know?
Right, I got it.
I go through periods of thinking, shall I own lots of stocks and see which one goes, makes it through the golden arches, or whatever, to the pearly gates?
The promised land.
Or shall I, you know, really go big on what I think is going to do it, you know? And I'm in two camps on that level. Saying that, talking about going big, I've gone quite big on Royal Dutch Shell. It's up to, it's literally threatening its highs at the moment. £17.40 it finished off at on Friday, which is nice, isn't it?
Yes.
Are you a holder, Steve?
Yes, that's Steve looking very profitable and healthy for me, that one.
Yeah, now the next payment, like I say, is March 20th. All right, not the next payment, the next record date of when you have to own shares by to qualify for the dividend, which is about 7%. And my last dividend was like, I got about £1,200 in shares. So I'm thinking I may hang around for that anyway before I de-risk a little bit. Well, I think that's a month before the referendum, Brexit, which may, you know, have the market a bit of a wobble. So I'm hoping, you know, I'm fine timing it, but I mean, it's pretty worth hanging in for that, isn't it?
Yes, I would have thought so. And I actually have a question on dividends. So moving from small caps and all that to much bigger stocks. Lloyds have obviously went ex-dividend this week.
Yes.
And they're paying there. And I have traditionally always just gone, right, reinvest all dividends. Obviously, Lloyds haven't really paid a dividend until now. But there's a lot of uncertainty with banks, and there's a lot of uncertainty with Lloyds, and you sort of go, is that a great investment? Now, is it worth still reinvesting your dividend when you aren't that certain about the stock? Obviously, it, low price is good because you'll get more for your money.
Yeah, yeah, but, yeah, yeah. Well, you can always reinvest, and I think, you know, the banks are having a hammering, and they were being oversold. I don't know. It's up to you. I'm looking at the chart. All I can say here is I'm looking at the chart of Lloyds, and there was a gap up, right? When was this? 24th of Feb, a gap up there.
Yes.
And, you know, that was about 63, 64. And now gaps are, you know, are well known for having holding support and resistance there. And we're at 65.9.
Yeah.
So you could say that may prove to be a support level. And
but isn't that all down to the fundamentals? Because what that gap up that you mentioned then, that was when they released their results and it was positive and it shot back up. And then this week, obviously, it's gone ex-dividend, so the price has come down a couple of pence. So
yeah, yeah, well, there we are. So if the fundamentals are good, you know, they've been dragged down by banking sentiment, haven't they? Bad banking sentiment. So if Lloyd's fundamentals are good, then maybe again, when the next results are out, they'll buck the trend.
I wouldn't say good, but, you know...
Well, they are seen as the success story of the banks that, you know...
Least took
on bad debt, you know, because they did take on a lot of bad debt. They bought into, HBOS and all that stuff, I think. And so, what did they buy into? It is a turnaround story, the successful turnaround story, isn't it? By Ontario. And I think, you know, if they keep going along this road of improving the bank, then surely any results will be good. I don't know. That's your decision, you know? What do you do?
Yeah, no, it's tricky, isn't it? Because you sort of go...
But this way, this is the way you think of it as. This is what how you'll do it. It's all about use of capital, isn't it? Can you employ that capital better elsewhere?
Yes, probably. That's yes.
What will you do then?
Well, on a sort of more prosperous looking dividend stock.
What like?
None springs to mind. But no, I mean,
well, that's the thing. You know,
there's going to be a better one out there, though.
Well, you have two options. Go to cash, right? You won't lose money with cash, pretty much. You know, inflation is zero, so cash is fine, and then you're anything. Or can you improve that amount? That's all you got, isn't it? And you think, well, is Lloyds a better prospect than anything else, than cash, or not? Or if I find another prospect, it's better than Lloyds. And so, you know, weigh up your options.
The whole thing with reinvesting dividend is that sort of compounding effect, isn't it? So if you...
Yes.
And I read something the other day being quite positive about Lloyds, then I read somebody being very negative about Lloyds. He said, if you actually just are a long-term holder and you just reinvest your dividends, and I'll speak to you in 10 years' time and I'll tell you whether it was good or not, you know. Is that the better way to play it? I don't know.
Do you know what's funny with Lloyds? I'm looking at it here. They've never... I'm on the one-day chart here, and I thought with the bounce they've had... Well, they haven't. So right now, you could say, you know, look at the chart. They are below, you know, previous support levels, or they're around about, 70-odd pence, way down there. And, you know, looking at a purely simplistic charting point where you say, if the price is below the 200-day moving average, it's bearish. If it's above, they're below the, you know, all the trend lines are down, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
So it doesn't look particularly bright and breezy at the moment.
No.
But you've got that support gap there. You've got that big bottom that happened, you know, that spike down, that really low of 56 pence. Will it go lower than that? You know what? You could test that. Yeah, and that's like over 10%, isn't it? So, you know. You pay your money, you take your choice, whatever the saying is.
No, it's been very useful, thanks. No, I'm kidding. It's quite hard to make that decision, isn't it?
Yeah, but this question is,
Go on,
Steve.
Steve's still here. I thought he'd gone home.
Man with the big glasses on his ears. Man with the big ears on his glasses, I mean.
Separate kind of
man
conversation. So I'm not sure if you wanted to finish that conversation first.
Yeah, I'm done.
You're done. Good.
Hang on, I haven't finished it yet. And that's why I think, Pete, you should, you know, formulate the plan first.
Oh, okay.
And then think, I've got a better plan here than the man in Lloyds can do for me. That's it. So, Pete, Steve, we now finished the conversation.
Actually, no, I've got another quote.
Go on.
Steve, go on.
Go on, Steve.
Do you know when you're buying shares, I'm not sure if this is when if you're putting like stop losses or limit orders in, why don't you get the option to put the amount of money you want to invest? Why do you always have to work out the amount of shares that you want at the price?
I don't. I can put in on, well, I'm with Barclays, and I can put pounds or shares.
Pete?
Yeah, Hargreaves Lansdown. I know what you mean.
Because I made a massive error this week when I was buying some more.
I bought
more Asia.
A billion.
Yeah, no, the complete opposite. When I was buying Asia Mets and I worked out the wrong amount and I ended up buying £30 worth, which obviously.
Steve Trader's on the. Steve Trader's buying. He's swaying the market with his 30 shares of Asian Mets.
Yeah, excellent.
Completely got it wrong, the calculation, and yeah.
How much is it? 15 quid transaction charge, will it?
Instantly, I'm like 30% down. Oh.
You can see all the boys that Harry, Barry, Larry lands down there, putting their phones down. How much is he buying? How much is he buying? How much? 30,000? What? 300,000? 3 million? What? 30 quid. 30 quid? What? Yeah, I think he's got it wrong.
Do you know what? They should have an automated thing that goes, we think you don't want to buy £30 worth. You know, because who does buy... Yeah.
That's only when you're putting in a buy order, isn't it?
Yes, but why don't they give you the option on the order limit?
Is it because they can't give a specific...
At the time.
No, in fact, it's not that.
They could, because you say, I want to invest $1,000. You can invest $1,000.
Yeah, you can.
I want to invest $1,000 at this price, and then, yeah.
Well, if you say a price, they can give you the amount of shares, can't they? But if you're saying, I don't know if Barclays do that. You know, they'll just run up the shares.
No, you can't. When you're live trading, when you're buying, like, that's fine. That's how it works. But when you're putting in a buy order, you do have to go and work out what price, how many shares it is.
I bet the traders on the floor give a phone call to Harry and Larry on their yacht in the Med and said, Steve's on the phone, he's buying. What is he buying?
£45 worth.
Hang on. 30 quid's worth, he's changed his mind. All right.
It's the second time I've made that error. Luckily, I've only done it under and not accidentally bought ridiculous amounts of stocks.
I gotta say that's bad. They're going to give that. I mean, because monetary value is everything. Why don't they give you the monetary value? It's ridiculous. Harry and Larry, they've got something going on there. What's going on there?
Yeah.
You had a question, Steve, about your ISA, which you can answer yourself, apparently.
Yeah.
Shall I put the question to you? I have shares in a non-ISA account. And I want to transfer them over to my ISA account. Now, there's a new tax year. I've got 15,240 quids worth to take up there. Can I do that? Can I transfer shares, Steve, from my non-ISA account to my ISA account?
Well, it's a weird answer. So I spoke to the guys at Harry and
Larry's. The answer is octopus. Very weird. That's what they said to me. Laughed and put the phone down.
So I had a woman who was speaking at 100 miles an hour to me. Basically, you can do it, so they will do the transfer. But great news. But all they do is they sell your shares and then rebuy them in your ISA, and they don't charge you their commission. But I was like, well, hang on a minute. So I still lose the amount between the sell and the buy price. And she was like, yeah, but that could also work in your favour, obviously, if it changes. And I'm like, well, it's not, because the stock I'm trying to transfer is quite stable at the moment. Yeah, so yes. Yeah, I appreciate the fact that I'll save myself the sell commission and the new buy commission, but...
Well, and you're saving tax as well. You won't have any... Term, it's better.
Yeah, but if you've got quite a lot, so say, for example, I was moving quite a high amount of money...
He's moving about 30, 40 quid.
Sorry, I forgot that. Yeah.
So the amount between the buy and the sell is quite a lot. So you'd lose quite a bit of money.
That's the spread you're talking about there. But the actual, you're buying the same stocks, aren't you?
Yes.
So you're saying that the stocks you're buying have a big spread.
Yes.
But you get that spread anyway, Stephen. You really. I understand what you're saying. You will lose a bit buying and selling. Yeah, but that's. I know. I don't know why that is. The law is you just can't transfer. You have to sell what's in your non-ISA and buy them back up in your ISA. And that's it.
Yeah, and that's pretty good of them that they waive their commission, so that saves you a bit. And then, obviously you lose a bit on the spread like that. But then longer term, you're in an ISA, in a tax haven. Mm. So, it's like being in Panama.
Panama.
I'm in a tax haven. Oh, this is lovely.
So I've decided I'm going to leave it there for now, and I'm just going to sell it when it hits the same, because at the moment it's a little bit down from what I bought. I'm going to wait until it hits the price that I bought it, get it out, and then rebuy at some point in the ISA.
Yeah, you should say, right, you got to say, how many stocks you got?
A couple of million.
You would just go, right, could you take £10 worth of New World Oil and Gas, sell £10 worth of that, please. £15 worth of Asian Met, please, sell some of that, please. And then can I have £25 worth of Roller Shell, sell some of that, please.
I'll pick
and
a mix.
Yeah, and take two from the top, one from the bottom, three from the middle, please, thank you. Lovely. Oh, that's it. I'll call up tomorrow and do the same again tomorrow. Yeah, I know, that's annoying, but, you know, it's worth getting it into an ISA. And also, don't forget, I think, this is off the top of my head, but, you know, to the facts, I think, you have to earn more than 11 grand, I think, in profit to qualify for capital gains tax on shares. And even if you do earn, say you've made more than 11 grand in one stock, but you've lost, you know, say, 5 grand in another stock, you can put that 5 grand against that, you know, gain, and so you will not be liable for, you know, sort of capital gains tax. So you can sell loss makers to cut out that capital gains, you know. But of course, once it's all in your ISA there, no need to even worry about the capital gains tax. And then it's ramping up, I think, next financial year, I think it is, after the budget, 20,000 you can put into your ISA account every year, and that may increase as well. So,
But Steve, if I heard you correctly, you're saying you're going to wait until the price recovers to the level that you bought at to then do the sell and the buy into the ISA?
No. Well, obviously, I know that would make no difference at all. I'm keeping an eye on the price because it's quite low at the moment, so I'm looking to rebuy in the ISA. So what I'll do is I'll probably buy it twice, buy in the ISA, then when it goes up, I'll sell the stuff in the fund.
Oh, look at Steve. He's hedging between his ISA and non-ISA.
All right, okay.
Oh. It just means I've got to double my money for short term or so, even long term, you don't know.
So you should ask them to do it, though, otherwise they'll charge you. You get charged, don't you? Dealing costs.
No, because I want to wait until the price is low to buy the new ones, and I'll wait until the price has gone up to sell the other ones.
Yeah, but
you get capital gains tax.
No, because I'm going to sell it at the point I bought it, so I wouldn't have made any. But no, I'm going to make 11 grand on it anyway, am I? So.
No.
Oh, this is dull.
This is boring, isn't it?
Yeah, this is very. Like Steve,
he'll probably
call up and do the wrong. Probably sell 10 quid's worth. Oh no, I done it wrong, right?
But no, my point was going to be. Sorry, this is boring. But my point was, that, Steve, if you're waiting for it to recover, so if then what you're
no. If it's boring, don't drag it out even further.
Okay, sorry.
It's like you know what.
Let's just end it. I have a system.
Steve's right. I'm wrong.
It's like you got a horse there with its head off. You know it's dead, and all you're doing is whipping it more and more and more. So I've killed the horse. So we know that. So it's got a head on it, is it? You are flogging that dead horse there. You're really ripping the back end out of it. Go. I just have one more question on the ISA.
Don't bring a question, you have a go at me. When I bring a question, you have a go at me. There's no.
Steve doesn't bring a question for like 3 weeks and then turns up with something that's just turned into this very boring conversation.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, did you see the Coov's update? I mentioned Coov, didn't I?
Yeah.
You know, I like it a lot. I said it could be an ASOS, and they've done 10 million in turnover this year, and the revenue's expanding, and the share price, it's gone like Asian Met or like Ascent Resources. It's gone up. I think another nearly triple-digit gain I made on the penny stocks. This is why it's frustrating at the moment, you know, with my million-pound punt experiment just sitting there doing nothing. So that's why I want to revitalise that. Oh, by the way, leave us on a bit of it. We'll end this podcast because that ISA question has really drained me of any energy to live.
Yeah.
But very interesting guest on the podcast next week.
Yeah. Is it that one, the guy from One Direction?
Yes, he's talking about ISAs. Yes, what you do, transfer £5. No, it's someone I think will excite shareholders of this company. It's someone, I'm not going to mention who it is because I can't.
Timmy Mallett.
But when people hear about it, they go, all right, yeah, I'm saying, yeah, it's Bhutan.
Donald Trump.
Yeah, no. Don't forget about Bhutan. You don't change a monster, Bhutan. Yeah.
Okay. Right, good.
Right.
Thanks.
And that's it. Any guesses? it's not Michael Jackson, because he's dead. But any other guesses?
Is he very well known?
The person isn't well known, no. But he's representing someone who's very well known amongst the private investor. Yeah. Oh. Don't say anything.
Wow, I don't know.
Don't say anything, I said. Steve, any idea? Don't say anything? Steve? Don't say anything. Go on, Steve. Have a guess.
No idea.
Don't say anything!
Well, that's all I'm going to leave at. It'll be on the podcast brilliant. Next week. It's very exciting. It'll literally get people sweating, you know, from their eyebrows. I think people will love it. It's literally tingling in every corner of their body. They think, yes! At last! Anyway, that's enough clue, I think. cool. Speak next week, guys. All right. The next time you want to, hammer in a golf, I think we should. Next time we should go to Steve's. Steve actually sent me a link via email to the crazy golf course. I think we should head up to Cardiff, Pete, okay. And play the crazy golf course.
Okay.
It's called Easter Extravaganza. What's that? 10 a.m. What's that, Steve? Oh, yes, that's nice.
Next Easter. Okay, great.
We'll go there, and I'll probably win it at this game as well. All right.
Okay. Lovely.
Okay.
Lovely. Speak soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The people on this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about, so please don't buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation, as it's just opinion. Please do your own research.